another episode of the Social Media Church Podcast. This is episode number 50, and my name is DJ Chuang, your weekly host, and this is not just another podcast, this is a special edition of the Social Media Church Podcast, and I'm joined with my special guest, my new friend, who is a YouTube sensation. Well, significant enough because he's created a video that happened to go viral with over 5 million views. His name is Ja Jong, and he's going to be joining me in a conversation. We're going to learn about how to create a viral video, what he's learned in the process, and what we as church leaders can learn about using social media to engage people around the country and around the world. So Ja, thank you for joining me here on the Social Media Church Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I feel very special after that intro.
Well, you are very special, and I'm so glad to meet you in person.
Me too. Usually
I record most of my Social Media Church Podcasts through a Skype video chat or Google Plus Hangout because I'm connecting with people around the country. And I've even connected with someone in England and Canada over the past 49 episodes. And on the 50th episode, I wanted to have a special guest, and you are very special just for your personal accomplishments that God has really opened up for you. And as a lay church leader, we want to learn some things for you, for those who are church leaders in a staff setting and other kinds of church settings, because there's principles about social media that apply across the board. And it's been an amazing journey for me to cultivate for you and also for this Social Media Church Podcast. I've had opportunity to talk with all kinds of churches, big and small, different parts of the country. And what's been surprising to me is every church uses the same social media tools in all kinds of different ways.
Right.
Yeah, so that's been amazing. And on this 50th episode, I wanted to mention an article that was published just this past week in the Christian Post that listed the top 5 churches that are doing social media well. And you can check the show notes at socialmediachurch.net to check the list of 5. Off the top of my head, it's Marcel's Church in Seattle, lifechurch.tv in Oklahoma, Gateway Church in Dallas-Fort Worth area, and Cross Point Church in Nashville, and here in Texas is Community Bible Church in San Antonio.
San Antonio.
So those are the top 5 in terms of just really putting the resources, the people behind using social media well. And 2 of those 5 even have staff that are building technology for churches to use technology to serve people, not only in their church, but the church at large. So those are very significant innovations that I hope to give voice to and help us to learn from each other on the Social Media Church Podcast.
That means a lot to me, DJ, when you say that, because I used to have a lot of thought ever since I dove into social media and I had a viral video, I had a blog that a lot of people follow. I've been thinking about how we can actually spread the gospel through social media. Used to be the Christians were on the cutting edge, on the leading edge of social media, or media in general, like the music, the painting, you know, the...
Probably the biggest one is the Gutenberg Press.
Absolutely.
I mean, that ushered in a whole enlightenment and just changed the world with the printed word.
Right. But now I've been to a lot of churches that feel like we're really falling behind. You know, the social media is something for a lot of information, for a lot of entertainment, but what about the gospel? You know, how do we use it to actually connect with people in a way that wasn't there before? And how do we reverse the trend? How do we actually lead the society in social media, in the new media? So that's why I'm very, very interested in your podcast and this topic in general.
Yeah, so what I've been doing is just connecting with people, having a conversation about how different churches are using social media so we can capture those learnings and share it with everybody, because we really don't have a magazine or a media channel that highlights this, because the church leaders that are doing social media are busy doing social media. They don't have time to be telling their stories and trying to teach others. And so I have a little bit of margin of time, and I have a passion for this, so I've been just doing this on zero budget. And we've gotten over 10,000 downloads in the first year.
You're doing a great job.
Well, thanks for being here with me. And so I wanted to hear your backstory of how you stumbled onto creating YouTube videos and learning about rejection, I think it is.
Rejection, yeah, that's my story. So I I have always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I grew up in Beijing, China, and saw Bill Gates at a very young age, and that inspired me to be an entrepreneur. So I came to the U.S. when I was 16 years old as an exchange student in rural Louisiana, of all places. But I started, that's where I met God, you know, and I met Jesus and invited him into my life, and it changed me, my whole view of the world significantly, you know. And I no longer see this as a personal ambition, but is how I can use my passion to serve God. So God has been with me for the past 15 years, and I'm very grateful for that. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, there's a lot of worldly material for me to chase after, you know. So, and I got my American dream, married a beautiful woman, and got a house, got the car and everything, got a graduate degree from a pretty good school. And then one day I woke up, I'm 30 years old, you know. Then that I didn't feel good about it, because, you know, I feel I deviated from that passion. I deviated from my prayer with God, saying, you know, use my passion. What I'm doing wasn't my passion. I knew it was...
What were you doing?
I was being a marketing manager at a Fortune 500 company. I was making six-figure incomes. So I was doing really well. When they say money don't make you happy, that's extremely true in this case.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so...
Well, I'd like to try. So if I can help you out in any way, let me know. My number. So how did you first get into social media? Everybody has that story.
Yeah, I stumbled upon it. So what happened is, to chase my dream, I quit my job to start my new startup. Mm-hmm. And that's based on prayers. And then after a while, and I got rejected with the investment opportunity, which I wanted so much, and it really hurt. So then what happened is I started doing something, searching online, seeing, you know, what's the thing that can help me with my rejection problem? Because I was about to quit after that rejection. So I started blogging. I started wearing an iPhone on my neck and going out to different locations to ask for some crazy stuff to get rejected at. This is what's called rejection therapy, where you look for rejection so you desensitize yourself from the pain. So I went out and started asking for some very crazy stuff. Like, you know, I asked to play, knock on strangers' doors, to play soccer in his backyard. I flagged down a police officer and saying, can I drive your car? You know, and on a flight, I asked the flight attendant to see if I can give the safety announcement. And then, like, just the other day, I asked a random pilot to see, can I fly your airplane? The funny thing is, they all said yes to me, every single one of those requests.
Wow.
Yeah, it showed me a part of the world that I didn't know before. And I was blogging these encounters, and there's one instance in particular that the video went viral, is where I went into a Krispy Kreme store and asked the donut shop, the frontline manager, saying, Can you make me donuts that look like Olympic symbols? And that was my third request. And there's no way I was gonna get a yes. And I was like, you know, I already prepared my speech of how to get turned down, what do I say, how to be funny. But she took my request very, very seriously. And she started asking what colors. So in 15 minutes, she made it. She actually made it happen. Then she didn't think she did a good job. And so she gave it to me and gave me a hug.
And so you got these donuts for free.
For free.
Custom design color.
Yeah. Wow. She had no idea I was recording this.
Yeah.
And that video went absolutely viral. The story got on the front page of Yahoo, and there was a Business Week article about me, you know, because of that. Mm-hmm. So it was.
And you had a TV appearance?
Yes, I did. Multiple TV appearances. Yeah.
Oh, see, I'm so clueless.
But let me first witness what a viral video is. And to me, I believe this 100% as a miracle from God. Mm. Because right before that video went viral, I shared my testimony with my local church and asking for, telling them, hey, the life is not easy. It was Thanksgiving, right before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So the topic of my sharing is I need to be thankful during the time of the rose and to be thankful during the time of the thorns. Mm-hmm. And at the time, my wife wasn't, she was having some health problems. My startup was being turned down with a reinvestment. So it wasn't all rosy. And then right after, really just literally the next day, the video went viral, and this whole new world opened up to me.
Amazing.
It was pretty amazing.
And since that time, I mean, you weren't just doing an experiment on randomly doing rejection therapy. You actually set out a goal of 100 days of rejection therapy.
100 episodes of those.
And you were just bracing yourself for it. As we're recording this, you're on day number how many?
96 right now.
96. So you're nearing the finish line.
Nearing the finish line, yeah.
And since that time, you've also had other opportunities to actually share your story before a live studio audience.
Yes, I have.
Tell us about the TEDx experience.
Yeah, I was invited to multiple TEDx stages. And I actually have to turn down some of them because it's too much. Mm. And there's one that's specifically here in TEDx Austin. And that was the experience that I will never forget, because the people who got on the stage are the artists, are the scientists, are the social pioneers, those people who are changing the world. But somehow I got on there. And that was before I got on, I was so nervous, you know. But then I thought, hey, I'm the rejection guy. You know, like they might be great, but they haven't heard. Handled it with rejection that I did. So I got on there and gave a speech, and it was people gave me a standing ovation. That was almost a magical night. And then I got used to it, because I got a lot of talking opportunities to share my stories now. I'll be giving one in the World Domination Summit.
Where is that?
It's in Portland, Oregon. There'll be like 3,000 people there.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm invited to Las Vegas with the Life is Beautiful event. But right now, like, you know, this is not some sort of, I don't chase after fame. I don't chase the celebrity status. And that's not what I do. What's really changing me is I feel I'm really helping a lot of people. A lot of, they read my blog. Every day I got emails, people sharing their story with me, because the topic of rejection is very, very relevant.
It's something we all can relate to.
Absolutely. And they think, there's one example of that I will never forget. It's a guy who, he said he's been fearful rejection his whole life. Like, so much so that go to the restaurant, he would ask his kids to get the ketchups because he doesn't want to ask people.
Oh.
That's to an extreme, right? But last year, his wife was diagnosed with cancer. Mm-hmm. In the American medical system, for good or for bad, he said you have to push the hospitals, the doctors and nurses to get things done.
Yeah, there's a thing called patient advocacy.
Yeah. And he couldn't do it. And after watching my video, he's like, if you can do rejection therapy and ask all this crazy stuff, I'm really trying to save my wife's life.
Yeah.
You know, so what I'm doing. So he started pushing and asking. Mm. And if, you know, when you hear that kind of stories, how people can relate, strangers sent me a story like that, that really changed my perspective. So it's not about me anymore.
Mm.
I think rejection is something so psychological and something that if we change our perspective, our lives will be so much better. So that's what I'm trying to do going forward, is to help other people to change their perspective on rejection.
And you summarized it so poetically in your first TEDx talk about two or three of the surprising things you learned about rejection.
Right.
Do you remember what you said there?
I feel rejection, we think rejection, we get rejected, is some sort of objective truth about ourselves, right? Mm. So when we get rejected, that must be something wrong with us.
Mm.
But rejection is really nothing than just a person's opinion.
Mm.
We know the world don't have a lot of, we lack a lot of resources, but one resource we don't lack is opinions. Everyone has opinion, they're more than willing to give them to you for free. So just because that, and the rejection says as much as about the person who gave you rejection than the person who are receiving it.
Oh.
So it's, why are we depending on our view of ourselves based on someone else's opinion? That's one thing I really learned. And second, rejection is really a number. Sometimes acceptance, every acceptance has a number, right?
Yes.
So sometimes when you get a rejection, you just have to change who you talk to, how you talk about it, and then once you go get enough through enough rejection, that rejection turns into a yes. So those are some of the things I learned about rejection.
Yeah, and as you've gotten into this rejection therapy experiment and journey, it's actually took on a life of its own. So it's not just to help yourself overcome rejection. You've realized, hey, you're having a growing influence to help many other people. So as you look forward, what do you see happening? I mean, you're coming up on day 100.
Yeah, so I want to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing a book on rejection, on my story.
Wow.
and how that the lessons about life and business that the rejection, my rejection therapy has taught me. And I feel having a book will give me an even bigger reach, and so people can, when they can not only read the book, then give it to other people, they can share the story. So, you know, so that's what I'm doing right now. And also, I'm building a business around it. I'm an entrepreneur, and I want to build a sustainable way so I can have a organization or a company that can share this this idea with the world and being sustainable that way.
Oh, that's great. Thanks for sharing that with our audience. And I know you're a Christ follower, and I guess this has renewed your faith as well.
I don't think I never deviated, but it showed me like some powerful miracles. You know, that especially, you know, there's no way I was giving this coincidence that after I shared my testimony with my church, after me, you know, asking God to give me a miracle, this happened. This is definitely a miracle from God.
Wow, it's amazing to see how you receive it. And a lot of our listening audience are church leaders. So there was actually a discussion on the Twitter chat that happens every Tuesday night on Twitter on the Chesocm hashtag, C-H-S-O-C-M. And there's a link in the show notes to the previous transcript. And they were having a discussion about viral videos. And so how apt to have you here. And so church leaders want to know, how can they create a viral video that can impact a lot of people? Is that something in their control, or are there some things that you've learned through your contact and through your experience? You know, what are some of the ingredients that make a video potentially viral? Since it's part of it is not in your control, but there are a few things that might be in your control.
Right. That's a very interesting question. I stumbled upon this. I did not plan to have this viral video, but after having it, I started studying it. I started studying what are the ingredients, and I read a book. It's called Contagious, and it was a pretty new book. It talked listed a few ingredients of viral videos, and I found it's very fascinating and can be applied to church videos as well. For example, some of the ingredients talked about are something very emotional. You know, like it taps into people's emotions. And something, and also some ingredients is the video, by sharing that video make you feel smarter. Oh. So it's like a social currency. So that's why when we see some of the commercials, we're like, you know, this is, video is cool, but you have to give people reason to share that video with someone else. Mm-hmm. You know, some videos are consumed without sharing.
Yes.
That's most of the videos. Most of the videos are not even consumed. But yeah. Once I see that video, does me sharing that video to other people, would that make me look good or somehow make me regarded as higher or make myself feel better?
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. So, and there are videos who are useful, you know, like the teacher's knowledge, practical knowledge is that you, when you care about others, like for example, DJ, you've been very open to this, I think I can talk about it. When you talked about you have bipolar disease.
Mm-hmm.
If I see a video that have someone who's somehow overcome or live with this and achieve great goals, or if you have a video that I know someone else has bipolar disease, I'm more than willing to share that video with that person because it's useful, because I care about that person.
Yeah.
So here are some of the ingredients that we can look into and make them shareable.
That's good. That's such good insight. And so the goal is not going viral per se, but creating valuable things that people want to share.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's such good practical tips. And any other thoughts come to mind as you think more broadly about social media? What can churches be doing better?
Yeah, so
you mentioned at the beginning that churches are so far behind, but what are some practical next steps that even the church we're here talking at could do?
I love what you're doing, DJ. Really, I really do. You're having a conversational style. Conversational style of a programming where you can have people to sit down and talk about faith in general. You're specifically talking about social media.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to. This is one of my dreams, and someday I want to do this. If someone else does this before me, I would love that to happen. It's all for God's glory.
Yeah.
I want people to have a podcast or some sort of thing where people can openly talk about their life, their faith in Christ, and or especially for church leaders, if they can actually open up and talk about, you know, how they are talking to people, why they believe in what they believe in, and the inside of the church and how people, you know, what he's doing trying to make the church better. So those things can get pretty, I'm not sure they can get viral, but will pique people's interest. Because me, as a Christian, and I believe God gave me intelligence, and gave me the education to learn things, to share, to make things better, I'd be very interested in that kind of stuff. Otherwise, currently, it seems like all the podcasts are just Sunday preaches, and they're being...
sermons.
Yeah,
it's a sermon delivery.
Being reprogrammed. I want a conversation, you know, one of the social media pioneers is Bill Simmons, and he is he's the chief editor of the Grantland Network. For those of you who are not sports fans, he is a big name in sports. You know, he started out with a blog, just writing huge columns about sports, and then he got a huge following. And his podcast, where he just invites famous, basically famous people, and sit down and talk about sports, but he also talk about life and why they do what they do. Now his following is his reach is so big. ESPN has built a new website just for him.
Wow.
And he's cultivating other people to do the same thing as he does. Now, I'm a sports fan, so that's why I know about this.
Yes.
But I think, what if we have some sort of personality in the Christian cycle that can actually reach listeners on a one-on-one basis through this? That would be amazing. So I hope this happens.
Well, thanks for sharing the idea, and ideas have a way of taking a life of its own. So thanks for sharing that, speaking that word, and just like God spoke the world into creation, perhaps a listener will hear this and it will spark something, and perhaps reality will happen.
Please, if you're listening to this, you have some ideas, if you want to do this, feel free to Twitter me, feel free to go to my blog and contact me. I'd love to share some ideas. Or if a year or two from now you made this happen, let me know. I'll be very, very thankful for this.
Great, and that's Jiajiang on Twitter. Check the show notes for how to spell that. Jiajiang.
Yep.
And he blogs at Interesting with an E.
Yeah. My name and the name of blog are not great brands, but if you Google 100 Days of Rejection, you'll find me very easily.
Great. And again, you can check the show notes at socialmediachurch.net. Ja, great being with you. Thank you for sharing your heart, your passion, your faith, and helping so many people around the world by breaking through 100 Days of Rejection Therapy.
Such a delight to connect with Jiajiang in person during my time in Austin last week. And he helped me record this very special episode of Social Media Church, episode number 50. And you'll want to check the show notes for the viral video that he was part of creating, Rejection Therapy Day number 3, as well as the background to this whole 100 Days of Rejection Therapy. Links are in the show notes at socialmediachurch.net. And of course, I'd love to hear your feedback, your comments about how you're using social media, what's caught your attention about this whole viral sensation. And it reminds me of way back when, before YouTube was the big deal, there was a church in Raleigh, North Carolina called Vintage 21, and they had recorded a series of 4 videos called the Funny Jesus videos, and if I can find them, I'll add them into the show notes. So those were way in the early days before viral videos were becoming such the thing that everybody's shooting for. And a lot of times it's just out of your control. And that's part of the X factor, that if you have that element of surprise, doing something that no one's ever done, but it triggers an emotional engagement and something that people want to share and people want to watch again, potentially you can have something viral. And it can carry a good word to impact the lives of many people. Well, here at Social Media Church, I will be making some adjustments because I have begun a new work arrangement for myself. And so the rhythm and the schedule of keeping up with the weekly podcast with Social Media Church is something I still want to do. And as I have time and energy, I definitely will do that. But the scheduling of them may not happen on Tuesdays as consistently as I would like. So I'm just kicking around in my head whether I should push out new episodes on Sundays or keep them on Tuesday and kind of work on them on the weekend and then schedule them for Tuesday or maybe bump it up to Monday. I'm not quite sure, but there may be a little bit of movement in terms of when new episodes are released. And since you're already subscribing, for those of you that are subscribed through iTunes or your favorite podcatcher on the Android device or on your desktop, it shouldn't matter too much when the new episodes release. And that's one of the magical things about podcasts, is that it can queue up in your subscription feed, and when you get to listen to it, you can listen to it. There's not the time sensitivity there is with real-time television or some of these other episodes where people chat a lot about it. And while we have some community and we have a significant following of listeners, there's not quite the real-time or near real-time interaction that you get on Twitter or on Facebook. So I just wanted to give you a personal update about my work situation during the past 6 months of my freelancing. I've realized, yes, I love connecting with people, but doing the business side of things just brings too much stress to me. And my emotional makeup doesn't handle that too well. So to have a job, I'm very, very grateful for. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord for providing something that I can do. Being in a place where I am valued for just being me and doing the things that I do well. And in a future episode, I hope to share with you what that new project is, because it is related to the internet and it has huge potential impact as the internet landscape is on the brink of being dramatically changed like never before. That's all I can say about that. And if you happen to be listening on the go and you have a cell phone near you, I'd love to hear from you. Give me a call on the hotline and leave a message with what your thoughts are about social media and the church, how you're trying to create viral videos, creative ideas. We'd love to hear them, incorporate them into a future episode so that this podcast can truly be a conversation with church leaders about social media. The number to call is 9493-543216. The number again, 9493-543216. And of course, you can connect with us on Twitter and Facebook or whatever social media network you like to use. Just let me know at socialmediachurch.net. My name is DJ Chuang, and until next time, let's stay connected online.